Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
Cammy's out of the house. I just got back in. I was taking the dog out to the bathroom. It's pouring rain. Things are great.
Yeah. Well, you're on the verge of the Masters.
I got a 5-pound dog, man, running the show here.
5 pounds. Yeah, that
Well,
hurts.
Yeah, he's a puppy, man. He's 10 weeks old.
Okay.
What kind?
He's a Cavapoo, Cavalier Poodle mix. It's very right. cute. You'd okay. like him, all. Yeah. Oh, would like him.
Send me a picture, please. I got to see a Cavapoo. I already have the great white shark shirts on. I want to see a Cavapoo.
And by the way, I got to disagree with you guys. How can the expectation be a World Series?
Why not?
Like, are you
Why
guys not?
Supposed to be?
Like, fast Chucky, but you go, hey, they won in the 90s. That was 30 years ago. It's hard to win. I'd say, well, don't you
what
think
What are we playing
like,
for?
No, yet you can, yeah, I mean, the ultimate goal is the World Series. Isn't the expectation to be competitive all the time? Like, isn't that more realistic? That's like saying the Leafs should win the cup every year.
No, not every year, but we're talking about, these guys have been given, Ray, listen to this. These guys have been given, essentially, almost 11 years guaranteed. And they haven't won a playoff game yet. You can't count the 2016 run as their run,
Dave,
even though they were
Vancouver.
Here for it.
I live in Vancouver. Jim Benning's had 7 years. He just said it's going to take two more. Like, how many years do you get?
Well, that's
exactly.
dysfunction.
No, what it is a job that is highly volatile, and they know there's not a lot of security. We brought up the quote, the most outrageous quote in the history of sports management. The guy in Houston
Rockets.
Last week. Yeah, the Houston Rockets GM, when discussing the Harden trade, he said, you can't ask me about that and how it played out by 2027. He said 2030 before we could start to review that.
Imagine having that job. Yeah. Don't
hey,
talk
can
to
you
me
sell
in
that to your owner?
I don't think you can.
Guy, I'm going to need another decade to really get a sense of that trade.
Yeah.
Really? Bad break, pal.
It's crazy. That's what you get with the job that I understand. Like, you're always building towards the future. But I don't think clearly it's unrealistic to suggest that they should win every single year. But at some point, you've had a 5-year run to build it up and go get it. You got 5 years to go and try to win one. I think that's reasonable in terms of, you know, not holding their feet to the fire. Let's face it. If this team wins this team averages 90 wins a year for the next five and makes the playoffs 3 of 5, people are going to be happy with that and they'll get an extension.
Right.
Of course.
Right. I guess that was my point is like, it's bloody hard to win all, like, there's so many factors, but if management gets money, like if the owners give these guys enough money to compete, then they've got to be in the mix. I mean, they've already got the young guys sitting there that can hit. Now they just got to find enough arms.
Well, it's an interesting time in Toronto because now that Shapiro and Atkins are locked in for another 5 years, and they've got a team that has done the least over the last few years in terms of actually wins and losses compared to the Raptors and the Leafs, but they're incredibly secure. Shanahan and Dubas, very secure. It's really the Raptors who come into the forefront, and I was thinking about this earlier today. I think Bobby Webster would be under the gun the most, even though his team just won a title, if Masai Ujiri leaves. Because if Masai leaves, then all of a sudden it's the Bobby Webster show on your own. And it's like, let's see what you got. Because Masai was always there kind of making the calls. Now he's not.
Oh, yeah.
What do you
it's
have for
like
us
It's always like the Big Brother theory, too, Hayes, where it was like Bobby Webster, it's like, he talks and talks about transactions, but you know looming over him is Masai kind of pulling all the strings.
Right. As a safety, you know, blanket, so to speak. But
that's the best example, isn't it, about what have you done lately? Like, they're the team that's won.
Right.
And you're saying they're the management under the most heat.
Yeah,
right?
It like could be anyway, based on, you know, what the other two teams are dealing with. Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, yeah, great, you won, good. That's nice. Now, what about now?
What do you got
and you're
for
like,
me now?
You know, I need till 2030.
That's maybe what the reaction would be. Exactly. The Norman Powell trade. You can't ask for a response on that until 2030. I'll let you know if Gary Trent responds over the next 9 years. I can define that as a win or a loss. We were talking about the goaltending updates for both teams in town tonight where the Leafs are playing the Habs. And with Carey Price, he didn't make the trip. And they're being not coy necessarily, but they're never up front. You know, goaltenders are always treated a little bit differently when it comes to injury updates, and I understand that. And Freddie, it was the same thing today. Sheldon Keefe said he's going to see the specialist again, more of a follow-up, no update, but season not in jeopardy. I'm not sure what we're supposed to take from that.
There's a lot of follow-ups, a lot of not too concerned, and a lot of not playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what's going on now. And then don't forget, so at some point he's going to jump back on the ice, you would assume. And if he's not in a position where surgery is needed, of whatever it is. So he's going to jump back on. He's not going to play 2 days after he jumps back on. So, you know, you're now looking at least into next week before he's back on the ice, right? Or maybe on the weekend at the very quickest. You're getting into a pretty good time frame away here. And when you say, what are you to believe? I mean, it's obviously more, it's a bigger deal than what they thought it was going to be. And it's some, I mean, my experience would tell me it's some type of soft tissue injury because they can't put a timeline on it. If it was, you know, a guy like Brendan Gallagher broke his finger, he's 4 to 6 weeks. But if it was the ligaments in his wrist and they didn't need to do surgery and you're like, yeah, I don't know, it could be here, it could be there, you're kind of at the mercy of what the body can repair. And that's kind of what soft tissue is. I mean, does it not make sense that that's kind of what you're dealing with here?
Yeah, yeah, it does feel that way. For sure. We have actually some breaking news here. This is courtesy of the Maple Leafs PR. For precautionary reasons, William Nylander will not play tonight versus Montreal as he has had exposure to a possible positive case with a close contact outside of the team. So Nylander is isolating and the situation will be reevaluated tomorrow pending the results of further testing. Barabanov will play tonight and the game's going to go on. So,
but okay, so, you know, I mean, obviously, we're the big news is Vancouver, right, and everything that's gone on there. But so I don't know if Nylander was at the rink today or yesterday.
I haven't seen him. I would. That's a good question. I don't know if he was there today.
But if he was there yesterday, you can see where the problem can be and how it can never be perfect unless they're sitting in a bubble.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that to me is like when I hear that, I'm like, oh man, I hope he wasn't around.
Well, he was on the ice for the morning skate.
Okay.
Today?
Yeah, today.
So there you go. That means the test came in between the morning skate and 5 o'clock this afternoon.
I mean, I wasn't there. This is according to Kristen Shilton. She had him down at the morning skate.
And so that's pretty obviously where things get a little murky. If he was there and. If he's just a close contact and it turns out that everything's fine, then that's okay. But if that close contact is positive and somehow he tests positive, then, I mean, it can easily go to what, I mean, maybe not to the extent of Vancouver, but into a more problematic spot.
Absolutely.
The full bubble's the only guarantee. That's the only guarantee.
Well, yeah, because the Canucks have kind of come out in the last couple of days, Ray, and sort of outlined how this thing spread through their team. And you've probably heard more than we've heard living where you live. But my understanding is it's one guy essentially went to a hotspot and picked it up. And I'm not sure if that – is it Whistler? Is that – there was speculation it was Whistler because there had been a lot of cases in Whistler. But wherever this person went, brought it to the whole team, and now you got 25-plus people.
Well – And so, again, that's why I say, like, unless it's the full bubble, it's never gonna be perfect. Like, what if the player, what if it was his wife that went up and skied a day when they were on the road? You were allowed to do that in BC until this week, or last week, I guess, when they shut it down.
Yeah.
Like, should she have, or if that was the case, or should they have been in a? Probably not, but you were allowed to be by the guidelines such as they are that were here. And so it only takes, right? It only takes the one exposure and, you know, I mean, look at it. It's a mess, man. It's a mess.
It really is. And what you hope for here clearly is that, you know, Nylander comes back negative. They're being overly precautious, which they should be. And it's negative, negative, negative. All good. Move on with your season. But that's how precarious it really is. Like it's just The Vancouver situation is wild. Like, it was similar in Dallas, but every day there's another positive test, and the amount of players.
Well, I think the complicating thing here, Brian, is that like it involves that in at least some of the cases. I wouldn't know how many, but it involves that the variant.
Right, the Brazilian variant.
And apparently that variant just races through, you know, infection wise.
Well, yeah, I mean, this might be the perfect example if that's what's happening. But anyway, so Freddie won't go to, or Nylander will not go tonight, and we'll see. We'll see where that takes us leading into the game tonight with Ray Frohwer, TSN hockey analyst. In terms of this matchup, the Habs, you know, they went through their own COVID issue. They've turned over the coaching staff to an extent in terms of Ducharme, in terms of Burke coming in as the goaltending coach. And they've solidified a spot. You know, they're one of these top four teams. It's just a matter of them fighting for position. How do you think they match up with the Leafs if it gets to a point where it is Toronto-Montreal for a best of seven? They play different styles. You know, I think the Leafs have more talent. But if all things are equal, everyone's healthy and everyone's playing, what kind of difficulties might Montreal offer up Toronto?
Well, I think the difficulty is, you know, that Montreal depth-wise is – in my opinion, like front and back is as good as anybody in Canada. Doesn't mean they're the most talented, but they're big, they check well. Their defense, I think 1-6 is probably the best defense in the country. Like I was surprised they struggled as they did out of the gate. Maybe the biggest advantage and one that can't be overcome is Toronto's strength at center. You know, like even with Eric Staal there, that's a pretty inexperienced group. Then, oh, sure, but Suzuki's just played a very little bit. Kotkaniemi's just a kid. You know, that's a clear advantage for the Leafs. The high-end talent, clear advantage for the Leafs. But, you know, I'm not picking anybody ahead of Carey Price, either Anderson or Campbell. You know, I don't think Price, well, I don't think. Price hasn't had a very good year, but... You know, I would think he would be able to at least at some point play your goal break even if he's not great. Montreal's defense would be a problem. They're big, they cover a lot of space, and they would make it difficult, I think, to create chances.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking, Ray, you talk about getting back to that idea of how long management should get, right? You know, and I'm just wondering, the reason I said World Series is because I think it's important to set that site, right? I think the only reason this town had the breakthrough it had with the Raptors was because Tim Leiweke came to this city and said, guess what? It's about one thing. It's about banners, right? And so he hired Masai and he hired Shanny. But I wonder sometimes when it's corporate ownership and you're sort of just, you're just being competitive every year, and there's no real, you know, there's no George Steinbrenner yelling at you saying, you got to win another World Series for me. I'm wondering if you can get comfortable. And I'm thinking, that, like, because right now, Brendan Shanahan's got 11 years guaranteed salary as the president of this team, and they still haven't won a playoff series. And these guys now have 10 years guaranteed, and they haven't won a playoff game unless you count the 2016 run, which was really Alex Anthopoulos' run. You see what I'm saying? It's like, if you don't set that expectation, what do you get, is my question.
Well... I guess there is a comfort that gets built in if you're not held to a high standard. 11 years is a hell of a run, and it's a remarkable run. You know, Detroit made the playoffs 25 years in a row. They missed a couple, and Ken Holland was gone.
Yeah,
right. Like that was, they made it 25 years in a row. And yeah, they were a mess and well on their way to being a mess, but that was the price they paid for keeping that streak alive. Like, Montreal has got the same thing. You know, like, what success have they had? They weren't even a playoff team last year. Right? Yeah. They got to play in the playoffs because the league said, okay, 24 teams are in. They were the 24th team. So I hear what you're saying and I see it. I guess the danger is that if you have a much shorter road for your management, you make that change, and then the new management's going to change course again. And you got to be careful that you're not always chasing something that you can't catch.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a fine balance.
If you believe in the people and you believe in their vision, I think you got to let them run their course. But that doesn't mean 10 and 11 years. I mean, you know, you're through a bunch of draft class, you're through a bunch of free agent deadlines, like, there's got to be some, you know, some success in there. And let's face it, this Leafs team is, they look different this year. For me, anyway, they look different from the ones in the past, but they've still never won anything. They've never won a series. You know, we're laughing at Buffalo here for much of the season, and they won a playoff series more recently than Toronto.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of it comes down to where you are on your timeline in terms of what you pitched to ownership. Like, I'm sure Shapiron Atkins with the Jays walked in and said, this has been fun in 15 and 16, but Donaldson's getting old, Bautista's old, Edwin's old. You know, we got to turn stuff over here, and guess what? We're going to have to bottom out. So they got that first 5 years of the deal to do that, and they were a bad team that bottomed out and drafted and developed and shed money, and now they're in the different portion of that plan where now it's supposed to be blossoming, and let's see what you've got. So I'm sure it's a different evaluation. And Shanahan, the same thing applied with him. Like, his first couple of years on the job were basically just surveying what happened and what had gone wrong and what has to move forward. Now they're at a different spot. You know, like, I don't think he gets a 10-year deal today. I think it's more, we'll give you three, and this better keep up. You know, like, now you've been here for a long time. Let's go. Let's start moving up.
Like, yeah, I guess whoever coins the Shanna plan and all that, that was a great phrase, but now
it's done.
I mean, it's done. Like, it's about, for sure, it's about results. Like, a great regular season, winning the North Division, and losing in the first round, that doesn't get it done anymore.
No. That's not going to cut it. Yeah, we're into a new era here, or they're certainly supposed to be, and they should be. All right, we're on the verge of the Masters tomorrow, and Owen and I are going to do our draft in about 40 minutes, and we'll be going back and forth on picks. But do you have anyone in particular that you got your eye on? Who are you sniffing around on this week at Augusta?
Well, I don't like the Spieth back-to-back. I mean, I get why everybody's excited about it, but I don't know. Nobody wins anything back to back. I mean, not very often anyway. So, I mean, my captain obvious pick is Dustin Johnson, right? I mean, like, you know, I think the guy's amazing. I do like Colin Morikawa. I like Finau, and I like Reed.
Ooh,
even though I don't like Reed, I like Reed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a
best putter on tour.
Yeah, that's that secondary grouping. You're like Reed, exactly. Like, if Reed gets rolling around the greens, his touch around the green and his putting is the reason he won in 2018. He's a
elite
star.
From the woods too.
Yes, when no one's around, and he can make
that. Oh, would you look at this? I've got a shot out of here.
Yeah,
can't.
Well,
believe
I want to see him on 13. Like, I want to see him hook it left into those woods where nobody is, and just have a camera hidden in there. And just see some monkey business. I love it.
That would be
it.
So great if they planted a camera in the
yeah,
trees.
A Spieth cam. A Spieth cam.
Just to see what's up.
You know what? Okay, this makes no sense. It's got nothing to do with talent, but just the way karma works sometimes. John Rahm just had a baby. Sometimes things like that work.
Yep. Danny Willett.
You're on a high. You're feeling great. Life is great. And he's a hell of a player.
What about Bryson, Ray? I think that he embarrassed himself the last time with his predictions, how he's going to shred the course. I think the way he's kind of put it together in a firm, dry course, he could do some of the things that he was talking about doing last time.
Yeah, you're right. Without talking about it, he could do that, which is probably a better idea. I got to tell you, I don't know how your rib cage felt after watching him on the range, but mine was sore.
I was BJ. I was sitting there just waiting to order beers, and I'm not doing that. Like, no way.
I was resting my barrel on the grip of my putter.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been us around Augusta. Oh, good stuff. That looks tough.
Man, that was crazy, though. And then even the way he caught the ball, he was like he was in a frenzy. Did he have like 8 Red Bulls before he got out there?
That's his
whole
routine.
I've always been fascinated by that. Like, do you really have to tell your caddy to throw the ball? You've got to put the tee in the ground anyway. Grab the damn ball from the ground. That drives me nuts.
It's a huff and puff. He knows the cameras are on. It's you know, going out for extra shots after the game is over. It's like, oh, the media's still here. Oh, I'm going to work on my one timer at midnight. Oh, someone tweeted that out. That's cool.
That's a surprise.
Like, yeah.
Now, this is what I've come to, this is where the stage I'm at on the golf course. When I'm going to hit my driver, I tee up like 7 or 8 balls all at once in a little line, so I don't have to keep bending over.
That's old school.
Wow.
I put them down there. They're in a line, and I just hit them and move forward. Hit the next one, move forward.
You better not Zach Johnson any of those. And it's like a domino effect.
Cue one of them off the guy beside me.
Yeah, that's an introduction. New season, just new routine on the range, and it's all good. I love it. Well, it's going to be a fun one starting tomorrow. Enjoy it, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, you bet. Have a great day, guys. We'll see you.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.